And Saul said, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we rejoice as a church on the festal day of the celebration of the conversion of St. Paul, a wonderful story that fits very well in the season of Epiphany, because it is an epiphany for Paul on the road to Damascus when he sees the Lord in a blinding light and comes to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. So there is a beautiful symmetry also if we see this as an Epiphany gospel, just like we had seen the celebration of the feast day of St. Stephen in the time of Christmastide. So we celebrate the feast of St. Stephen on the 26th of December, the day after Christmas. And there's a deep connection between the feast day of St. Stephen and the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul. And that connection goes right to the events that happened on the day of the martyrdom of St. Stephen. Now, some ask, why would you have the feast day of St. Stephen, first martyr, right after Christmas? Celebration of Christmas is so joyful, but then we're considering martyrdom. But some would answer back that the martyrdom in the church, the persecution of Christians, is a logical consequence of the incarnation. The light has entered into the world and become one of us in Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own would not accept him. And so we see that the world hated Christ. It will hate those in whom he lives. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And so we see that play out in the life of St. Stephen. And if you remember the account of and the events of his martyrdom, he was one of the first deacons ordained. He was very wise in the faith. He was a great preacher in the synagogues. He began to preach Christ in the synagogues. There were some who opposed him. They couldn't overcome his logic and reasoning from the Old Testament, so they dragged him before the Sanhedrin. And when he began to recapitulate the history of Israel to show that Jesus truly is the Christ, there were some in the Sanhedrin that were so furious about this, they actually plugged their ears and shouted so they wouldn't have to hear that. And even though he had the face like as of an angel bringing the truth to them, they rejected that truth. They dragged him outside the walls of the city and they stoned him to death. And there was one who was standing there that was approving of the death of Stephen, and that was Saul, who later would be St. Paul. Saul was there holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. So there was a connection right there between these men. There was the one who was faithful to Christ, the one who was opposed to Christ and consenting of this judicial murder. And then he carried on that persecution further. He became very zealous in his ideological stance of defending the faith of his fathers as he saw it. And he asked that he might have papers not only to, as he had been successful in rounding up Christians in Jerusalem, he asked for authority and papers to go all the way to Damascus, a 7 days journey, that he might arrest men and women there who were in the way, who were Christians, in the way of Christ, arrest them and bring them in chains back to Jerusalem. And he was given authority to do that. So here is the connection between those men. It's not a happy one. It's one of great division that ends in murder and the sadness of the, like Cain killing Abel, the sadness of innocent blood soiling the earth and crying out for vengeance. So what do we see in the martyrdom of Stephen but the gracious kindness of Christ, who is right there in his martyrdom? Remember, St. Stephen, as he's being stoned, he looks up and he declares, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. So he sees the Lord, he has a vision of Christ in his martyrdom, and then he has strength given that he can say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, as he's dying. So he expresses the love and forgiveness of Christ like he did from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He echoes the same, says the same in the Spirit of Christ. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So he's interceding for those who are killing him. That intercessory prayer falls upon Saul. And when he's on the road to Damascus with murderous intent toward those who oppose Christ, the one who would arrest Christians is arrested by Jesus, stopped on the road to Damascus outside the city gate, and then ministered to. So he has an experience of the living Christ. And Jesus speaks right to his soul. And why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? And when he says, why do you persecute me? We can hear the Lord, you know, saying, whoever does something unto one of the least of these, my brethren, he does it unto me. So he is affected by the persecution of those who are his brothers and sisters. And he arrests the one who would arrest Christians and stops him in his tracks and then tells him what he must do. You see this tremendous collapse of the man, like a quarterback getting blindsided by maybe a champion in the ring that gets knocked to the canvas. Here is a man full of pride who has all authority, who is now in the painting of the Renaissance masters. He's fallen from his horse to the ground. He's on his back. He cannot even see. He's been blinded by the light of Christ. Now he has to be led by the hand into Damascus, and there he will be healed. But we see personal ministry of Christ to the man, where he's at, and how that must happen for him. That connection between St. Stephen and St. Paul is perhaps illuminated if we think about the experience of Ananias. Now, Ananias is one of the faithful in Damascus, and the Lord reveals to him in a vision that he is to go find Saul at the house of Judas on the street called Straight, and there he will find him. He's to lay his hand upon him that he may be healed of his blindness and minister to him. And we can take instruction from the way that Ananias receives this message. It's almost as if to say, well, let me give you some information about this Saul, right? It's like inquiring theology here, where Ananias is in conversation with the Lord and saying, well, we know this one. He's persecuted, you know, Christians in Jerusalem, and he's got papers with authority to do the same here. Almost as if to say, are you sure this is the right one? And Jesus insists, yes, go minister to this man. So Ananias does. And we hear the happy report of what happens to Saul when Ananias prays and lays hands upon him. There fall from his eyes like scales. His vision is restored. He is then baptized. After a three-day fast, he is nourished. And then he gains his strength. And he begins to preach Christ in the synagogues that verily he is the Son of God. So the fruit of that conversion is manifest immediately. Paul will go on, now St. Paul, will go on to be the great apostle to the Gentiles and bring the faith to many others. So what do we learn from these experiences? In the first place, we see that Christ, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, is able to minister to each and every person, no matter their time or place. No matter where they're at, Christ can be with them. And so he is a personal savior to those who believe. And we see that in the crisis of Stephen's martyrdom, Jesus is there. In the crisis of Saul going from one murder then to more, we see him ministered to directly, personally, by Christ himself. Ananias, in the ministry of the church, is empowered by, instructed by, and given authority by Christ himself. So this is a comfort to us. It means that we too can be ministered to by Christ personally. And where do we find his message? Let us seek Christ and find him in the Word of God and in the sacraments of the church. Let us seek Christ and find him in word and sacrament and in the congregation of faithful people, in our own prayer life, to be led by him to do his work in this world, the work of redemption. We also see that Jesus is a living God. Saint Athanasius, in his work on the Incarnation that was published in the 4th century, that he wrote in the 4th century, is one of the classics. He brings forward as one of the evidences of the resurrection of Christ, not just the experiences of those who witnessed him in the flesh after his resurrection, but also of Saint Paul, who says that he, when he catalogs those who have seen Christ, he includes himself as one born out of due time, and I saw him as one born out of due time. He's seen the living Lord. And also, St. Athanasius will catalog those who are martyrs for Christ, who are giving evidence of the risen Lord by their willingness to die for him in the persecuted church. So he's a living Lord. This is, we see the action of Christ. He doesn't just rise from the dead, never to be seen again. No, he's alive in the church, and we can trust in the living Lord and rejoice in him, the one whom we experience under the forms of bread and wine and receive at the altar. We also see the work of Christ the peacemaker in this work. What do we see in the life of St. Stephen and Saul, who later is renamed Paul? We see deep enmity. There is misunderstanding, there's miscommunication, there is enmity, there is murder in their division, and St. Stephen is killed. We see Saul completely approving of this and seeking that more of this will happen. Right? That's where we see the ways of the world, this division that ends in death. What do we see in the kingdom that is breaking forth in the work of Christ? We see repentance, reconciliation, and the unification of those who formerly were divided. Right? There is peace now, the re-knitting together of those who were divided. If we saw a fresco of the saints, and we saw St. Stephen standing next to St. Paul, we wouldn't think twice. There they stand in Christ as brothers, the ones who in former times were at deep enmity with each other, one approving of the murder of the other. But now in Christ, they're brothers. This is the work of the peacemaker. We also see it with Ananias. Ananias isn't quite sure about ministering to this Saul. Are you sure? Is he the one? And Christ assures him and bids him go with boldness to minister to this man, for he will be a chosen vessel. So Ananias, in the ways of the world, is standing there like, are you sure about him? Because there's us and there's them. And Jesus says, yes, minister to them. We see the breaking down of the barriers there and of the overflowing of grace that will bring all the broken bits of our fallen humanity into one, the body of Christ. And so we can learn from that too. For Christ is bidding us that we would love the other and name him our brother, that we not be at enmity with each other, but instead come into a place of peace where, pouring out the love of God, we would see in our own time the great work of the great peacemaker happen as he is working his redemption through us in the church, even to its culmination where he will bring all things together at the end of time. So may we be encouraged today on this feast day of the conversion of St. Paul. May we be strengthened in our faith, and may we set forth with love in our hearts to do the great work of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.